Hello, my name is Michael Solomon, and I'm the author of The Truth About What Customers Want. What if you could design a whole new body for yourself, perhaps with a shape and face that would make Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt green with envy? Or you could make yourself green as well. What if you could walk, fly, or even teleport at will and for free to enchanted realms where you could befriend others from around the world and learn about any topic from Greek history to acid jazz? Many people are doing that while you're listening to this. They create avatars that play, work, and learn in virtual worlds like Second Life, There.com, even MTV's virtual Pimp My Ride. These computer-mediated environments, or CMEs, are perched on the tipping point of mainstream culture. When hit TV shows like CSI New York, Law and Order, and The Office all air recent episodes that take place in Second Life, we know something's up. If a text-based chat room married a high-powered video game, its offspring would look like a CME. These worlds allow anyone, rich or poor, ambulatory or disabled, to roam at will in a brightly colored three-dimensional world offering stores, beaches, golf courses, bars, ski areas, high-rise office buildings, medieval role-playing regions, and yes, sex clubs and presidential campaign speeches. Predictably, big corporations are starting to figure out how to market to us in virtual worlds, or at least to our avatars. But CMEs are not just about a new way to deliver ads. They're also a new horizon for educators, policymakers, and nonprofit organizations. Indeed, numerous universities already have a presence in Second Life, including the virtual St. Joseph's University campus that we've opened. Unfortunately, we're encountering naysayers in First Life, including some fellow educators who claim that CMEs are only a fad that can't substitute for good old-fashioned physical classrooms. It's not hard to remember similar comments about this new fad called the Internet only a decade ago. The research firm eMarketer estimates that 24% of the 34.3 million child and teen Internet users in the U.S. visit a virtual world at least once a month, and 53% of them will do so by 2011. These critics may not be hanging out in places like Second Life, but at least half of their kids are, and most likely all of their grandchildren will. The grumblers also point out, and correctly, that when the inmates control the asylum, the result inevitably mirrors what people create in the real world, such as pornography, gambling, vandalism, and even terrorism. Yes, all is not innocence and light in these virtual worlds. But unlike the real world, it's possible to block access to undesirable neighborhoods and even easier to control who visits yours. Warts and all, virtual worlds offer tremendous promises that far outweigh the pitfalls. Here are five to chew on today. The first is efficiency and resource conservation. IBM employees routinely conduct business in-world instead of traveling by plane. Think of the benefits both to the bottom line and to IBM's carbon footprint. The second is the scope of experiences. It's one thing for students to watch a video about a polymer or about Polynesia, and quite another to walk around the cells or swim to an exotic island. Number three, go where the brave dare not go. Boeing takes avatar passengers on a virtual plane ride. The plane catches fire in mid-flight so engineers can study how people react to an aviation crisis. Try doing that study in real life. Number four is access. A new world opens for the physically or psychologically disabled. A wheelchair-bound person can walk or fly at will. A shy student who hides in the back of a lecture hall magically sprouts wings and challenges his professor's ideas. all can benefit from real-time access to others they would never encounter otherwise. Students in Belgium can work on a group project with their peers in Baltimore, Bali, or both. Finally, push the envelope. Today's students have access to amazing digital tools that let them stretch their intellectual and artistic muscles. A white pupil can decide that today he wants his avatar to look like a member of a minority group. He might learn a powerful real-life lesson if other avatars treat him differently as a result. We are experiencing the birth of an entirely new way to communicate and to learn. The naysayers need to get a second life. Again, my name is Michael Solomon. You can read about Second Life and many other fascinating trends that affect consumer behavior in my new book, The Truth About What Customers Want, which will be available in October. Thanks for listening.